Well, good morning. If you're visiting with us or you're here for the first time, I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is with joy that I am able to come up here and try to open the Word of God so that we all might see Christ. And I'd like to remind everybody, the point of this is not just to learn and to grow, we do that, but it is so that we might worship our God, because He is why we are here. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, and we'll be covering verses 12 to 16. I've entitled this sermon, Jesus Willing and Able to Cleanse Us. And some of the themes Wes used in his prayer, and so I'm thankful for that and for the service. So years ago, I was shoveling my driveway. It was about 2 feet of snow. This was in Northeast Ohio. And as I was shoveling my driveway, all of a sudden my face went numb and had a massive headache, and I fell to the ground on my knees and managed to make it up to the door. Kind of was just laying there for a while. It was pretty bad. Eventually we got out of the driveway, went to the hospital. They ran a few tests and they found that I had meningitis. Now, I don't know if you know about meningitis, but there's two types. There's viral meningitis and there's bacterial meningitis. So they took me in, did a spinal tap, did some other things on me, and then all of a sudden they rushed me into a quarantine room, put a little curtain around me, put me isolated from everybody else, and told me that nobody could come and visit me. And so as I was lying there, realizing that potentially this was the end of my life, I was by myself, and I didn't know if I would see another person again before I died. Now, to be fair, my wife eventually said, I don't care if he has bacterial meningitis, I'm going to see him, and she went in there anyway. As it turned out, I did not have bacterial meningitis, viral meningitis. But you know, the reality is in these moments, moments like this, the moments that I experienced, it was a moment of isolation. And have you ever felt this? Do you know this now? Do you feel alone? Do you live with others but feel like there is no love? Are you alone and it seems like nobody wants to be your friend? Or worse yet, do you feel disconnected from God? Feel lonely, alone? Well, today what we're going to see is that Jesus exercises His desire and authority to restore a broken, lonely, and desperate humanity as they exercise humble faith in Him. Now, brief background up to this point in Luke. Jesus is the Savior who brings salvation to the poor, to the captives, to the blind, and to the oppressed. He came to earth to bring the Lord's favor to those who trust in Him. And He has healed the sick, cast out demons, communed with God. He has preached the good news of the kingdom of God, and He's called a group of men to be a part of His mission of catching men, and they left everything behind and followed Him. And so our story picks up from here, Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. This is the word of the Lord. While He was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged Him, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And He charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about Him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear Him and to be healed of their infirmities. But He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God is forever. And all God's people said, Amen. So I want to look at this passage in 3 points. The first point is this: humanity in desperate need. This is verse 12. What we're going to see here is two things. The first is humanity's condition, which is broken, lonely, and desperate. And the second is the solution to this, which is humble faith. So let's dig in. The man that we see here is this broken, lonely, and desperate leper. Some, by the way, consider leprosy in the Old Testament times to be a thing called Hansen's disease. And basically, though it may not be that, it's similar to that. And what happens is the body's warning system, pain, doesn't work. So most people, when they think about leprosy, they just think of like the discoloration, right? Things like that. But what happens is their infectious disease brings numbness to the hands, feet, ears, eyes, and nose. And so often lepers don't know how bad things are. So what they do is they reach out for things and they touch things and they grasp things very hard, such that what ends up happening is they cripple their fingers and they hurt themselves. So they might reach into the fire. They might reach into boiling water and not take their hands out. And so what happens is they traumatize that affected area, and over time, limbs, bones, and external flesh can become dismembered and twisted, causing them to look strange. And because of these disastrous results, there's one doctor that called leprosy a living hell. And the leper in this story, it says, is full of leprosy. This means he's got this real bad. But it is not just the disfigurement and physical difficulty that is such a problem. It's the result. See, the reason that this man is so desperate for healing was that he is broken and alone. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus, it tells us what a leper is to do. They are to go out and they are to be outside of the city. They are to not be around people. They were to not come close to people. And anytime they saw people, they would cry out, unclean, unclean. It was so bad that as the rabbis would look at Leviticus and they generally added rules around, that some of the rabbis would avoid lepers at all costs, going so far as the rabbis would throw rocks at them if they saw them in the streets. Isolation, mistreatment. Can you think of it? Can you imagine being cut off from everyone you know, from all of society, lonely, disgraced, and ashamed? Longing for a conversation, longing for fellowship, longing for the warmth of a touch of a hand of someone else, perhaps a hug, and not being able to receive that, never being able to get it while you have leprosy. Have you ever felt like this? Isolated, mistreated, cut off. What do you do when you feel this way? Is there any hope? Is anyone out there? Will anyone listen? Does anyone care? What does one do in this situation? See, many people today live like they have leprosy, but they aren't to the point of desperation. Though most people know that they are not perfect, many think they're not that bad, which is often the beginning stages of leprosy. Not that bad. And then the boiling water or the fire, and it gets worse and worse. But the reality is, all of humanity, like this leper, is in desperate need of Jesus' healing, not necessarily physically, but spiritually. You know, we see bank robbers, corporate thieves, adulterers, and we compare ourselves with them, and we say, oh, you know, we're not that bad. We can't see that we still yell at our loved ones, are dishonest, we hate in our hearts, we curse others in traffic, we steal lustful glances, among other things. And though these things may not seem bad, like leprosy, they chew away at us until eventually we are deformed and a dysfunctional mess spiritually. No one is a whole creature. Instead, we are all a broken mess far from perfection. We are all in desperate need, and we must recognize and seek wholeness. And so if you were in this isolated and lonely place of this leper, what would you do to be healed? What in desperation would you be willing to do to get out of that living hell, or maybe the condition that you even feel now? Eventually, as this leper realizes this desperation, he hears that there might be someone who can help, a miracle worker who is in the city somewhere. And so when he hears of Jesus and he sees the commotion because crowds were flocking around him, he knew that Jesus had made others whole from the rumors. And so he falls on his face before Jesus in desperation, begging him for healing, knowing that this Jesus could make him whole. So instead of staying away from people that he was supposed to, he cuts in and breaks the cultural, societal, and religious norms. Instead of crying out, unclean, unclean, he comes to Jesus, falls on his face, and cries out with an incredible statement of faith. You see that in verse 12. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The reason that this man's faith is incredible was at the time leprosy was regarded as an incurable infection. The rabbis considered healing leprosy as difficult as raising the dead. You see, the leper was ceremonially unclean. And many people at this time believed that people got leprosy because of sin. And they think that because of the story of Moses' sister Miriam, who had leprosy because she was basically trying to like say, "Why, hey, Moses, why are you in charge and me and Aaron aren't?" and got leprosy and was outside the camp. So that's the first one. The second one, we read that story. We didn't get to all that story because it was much longer. But the other one is Gehazi, who was the servant of Elisha. And that servant there actually took that. When you read that story, you heard him say, "I don't want your money." That's what the prophet said. And Gehazi, after that was done, he ran after him and said, "I'll take some money." That's what happened. And then he came back, and the prophet told him, "Why'd you do that? I saw you." God gave him a vision of that, and then he had leprosy the rest of his life. So with those two stories in the Bible, if you're an Israelite, if you're a Hebrew, you're like, well, you get leprosy because of sin. They thought that a person afflicted with leprosy was notoriously wicked, and the only one who could cure them would be God if he was gracious. And so though this may sound right, the reality is, as with illnesses that you may have now or are experiencing, it misses the doctrine of original sin. See, this world is corrupted and broken. And God said that to Adam, "The day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die." And that began the process of death in us and sickness and sin. Sickness is not always tied to sin. It can be, but it isn't always. And that's why James, in his book, says, hey, if you've got any sins, you confess those, but have the elders pray over you. Okay, so in this, there is a reality that this man may or may not have sinned, and it's okay. He was experiencing the result of sin in this world, or for himself, we don't know which one it is. So we, as Christians, often can jump to conclusions about people because they're sick and think that they did something wrong, but that may not be the case. So the leper recognizes that he is unclean and knows there's a solution, so he exercises humble faith. Now I say it's humble faith because first off, he falls on his face before Jesus. And he says, "Lord, if you want," basically, is what that says, "you can make me clean." He realizes, has this deep faith, but a humble faith, and he knows that Jesus, if he wants to, can heal him. Healing is only found in seeking the one who can bring a cure. And so the leper recognizes that Jesus is the Lord, the Master. Perhaps he thinks that Jesus is even God. It's hard to say, but Jesus, he knows that Jesus has the ability and the authority to heal him if Jesus chooses. So have you seen what Jesus does to people who are living in a state of degeneration and need of wholeness? Have you ever seen someone who's a drug addict? Someone who's an alcoholic? Someone who is a an addict to things like sex and all sorts of things like that, or even murderers who are made whole by Christ? If you have, you know that Jesus is able to make you or anyone else whole. Now, sometimes it's easy to gauge a sick body. But in the case of spiritual sickness, how do you tell? How do you know if you need a doctor, or rather the doctor, Jesus Christ? Here are some symptoms to think about whether or not you have spiritual sickness and in need of Christ. You are pursuing your career more than anything else in life. You're drowning sorrows in work, in drugs, in alcohol, in pornography, in sex, in food, in entertainment. You're constantly trying new things out to find satisfaction, but nothing ever actually provides you satisfaction. You're seeking your own good above God's. You're seeking your own good above others. You don't care what God says when you want to do something. You simply do it without any regard. You don't want to worship God. You don't want to hear about God. You seek, but you never find. There are so many more. But ultimately, you are looking for something that only the Maker can give healing. And so if you're stuck in this sort of thing, like the leper, you should understand that Jesus has both the ability and the power or authority to heal you. And so you should cry out like the leper to Jesus with a humble faith. Our second point is this, that Jesus is able to, and willing to cleanse. So I have another thing as I was thinking and meditating on this passage a little bit later. It's not in those notes up there, but I say that Jesus makes himself present and is able and willing to cleanse or to heal. You know, Jesus is not afraid to reach into our mess. He makes himself present to us. He did it to the leper and he does it to us. And he has both the desire, he's willing to do it, and the authority to cleanse or heal us. You know, over the years, I've been asked this question. How do you know Jesus wants or can heal me? In verse 13, it shows that Jesus desires or wills to make the leper whole. Jesus tells the leper that he is willing to heal him. That one simple phrase there, I will. I will. How powerful is that? Lord, if you're willing, Jesus says, I am willing. And there it is. Jesus is willing, and he exercised and shows his care by doing something that no one else could have imagined that he would do. Touch a leper. I mean, sit on the weight of that for a moment. The leper, who was supposed to cry unclean and unclean and not allow anyone to touch him, a leper who would get stones thrown at him by religious people to keep them away so they wouldn't contract leprosy and become unclean themselves, the Maker of heaven and earth reaches his hand out and puts his hand on this man's flesh. Jesus demonstrates his love. Don't miss this. This would have been completely taboo, and anyone who saw it would have been so aghast. How dare he? They would have thought that he would contract leprosy, but regardless of this, Jesus makes himself present to the leper. Jesus reaches into his mess. Yet Jesus not only says he's willing to cleanse him, but speaks the word. In the original language, it's one word. Be clean. Be clean. And his power instantaneously heals the leper. Jesus was not only willing, but he had the ability, he was able, and had the authority to cleanse that leper. Now imagine with me for one moment, put yourself in the leper's shoes. Decades, perhaps, years as a leper. Your fingers and your toes were stubs, perhaps. Your face was deformed. Perhaps you were married and you'd not seen your spouse, or perhaps you had children and you hadn't seen your children for years. You'd not felt the touch, the warmth of a hug, of another's loving embrace, isolated, alone, lonely. And now imagine the Maker of heaven and earth putting out his hand, touching that man and his wrinkled, ruined body. Imagine the warmth that flowed through his body, the warmth that he felt, the kindness, the love he must have experienced, the love that flows through him. And as the Maker's healing power flows through his body, perhaps reviving his nerve endings, feeling something in his fingers for the first time in decades, in his toes and his fingers straightening out, probably right before his eyes, de-wrinkling his face, making him look clean like any other person out there. This is the kind of power that Jesus Christ, the maker of heaven and earth, has. Jesus is the only one that could heal the leper. Why? Because he's God who made each and every person. The one who said, "Let there be light," and there was. The one who breathed life into Adam and he became a living soul. This is the one that touched and said, "Be clean," and healed this man. You see, when Jesus has the desire to make us whole, he's going to do it. You see, Jesus didn't have to come down to earth to live a difficult life and have it end in excruciating death and, worse yet, bear the wrath of his Father, but he did it anyway. He desired to make us whole, so he came to earth and took on flesh. Nothing would require the Maker to do what he did. The Father, but it isn't just Jesus. The Father willingly sent his Son to die for your sake, for my sake, to bear the wrath of God. He sent his Son so that we could be with him in paradise forever and ever, and so we could enter into his mission of restoration. And so this is the good news. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ came to the earth, to this earth, to make us whole. He became present with us, taking our sin. He is willing to heal us. He desires to make us whole, so we should act in faith and seek his wholeness. It's offered to us today. We can simply take hold of it and not let it go. But what if Jesus was present with us? He was willing to make us whole, but he didn't have the power or authority. Imagine with me that I am a criminal in jail, 15-year sentence for doing some crime, and you come up to me and you say, "Hey, James, you're pardoned. You're free. I want you to go free." But you're not a judge. You're not the president. You can't pardon. You have no authority. So what happens to your words? They just fall flat. No, Jesus not only wanted to heal, oh, he had the authority, the power to make it happen. And so there is good news. Jesus has both the desire and the authority and the power to make us whole. He did this by becoming present with us. He has made many people whole, and he can make us whole too. Now, I want us to know that while Jesus can miraculously heal us physically, even today, I have seen it personally, where people are miraculously healed, he doesn't have to, nor does he always choose to. It is not always his will to heal us. Sometimes the pain, the suffering continues, and it is hard, and it is difficult. And we cry out to him, and we lament, and we mourn, and we say, "Why, God, why?" And sometimes he shows us, and other times he doesn't. But what we have to remember is this. We cannot demand Jesus to heal us. And this is why the leper said, "If you will, you can make me clean." We can simply ask him in as much faith as we can muster up, and like another story in the Bible, "I believe, help my unbelief." We can do that. Yet, what I want you to know, though, that though it may not be Jesus' will to always heal us physically, it is his will to heal us spiritually, to take us from death to life. He will give us a new heart if we call on him for salvation. He can heal our physical bodies and our souls if he wants to, the physical bodies, but he always wants to heal our souls. But his primary business is in the present, is healing our souls. Why? A healed body without a healed soul will do you no good. Because one day, you will basically live in eternal judgment, bearing suffering forever. But if your soul is healed, you will receive a new resurrected body like unto Jesus's, and live in that perfection forever and ever. No more pain, no more tears, nothing. So if you're hurting right now, like physically hurting right now, and you've cried out to God, and God has not healed it, know this, one day, it may not be that helpful today when your joints ache, but one day, there will be none of that. And the short amount of years that you have right now and I have right now where we suffer is nothing compared to forever with no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no death. Notice the leper. He believed that Jesus had the power and authority to heal him, so he accepted Jesus' healing touch and was made whole. Jesus is present with us, is willing, and is able to heal us. Our last point, then, is that Jesus is our humble and dependent Savior. See, Jesus could heal this leper, and he can heal us because he's both God and the perfect man who lives in humility and dependence on God. In verses 14 to 15, as we look at this, and that you see that he tells the leper to not tell anybody. Well, he says to him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. There's something that Luke simply leaves out of his story here that Mark tells us. Jesus tells him not to tell anybody, and the guy goes and tells everybody. And so the fame, a leper healed, oh my goodness, goes and spread abroad. So now, basically, the reality of this whole thing is that now Jesus can't go anywhere without all these people coming and saying, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. If you can heal a leper, you can heal anything that I've got a problem with. That's what was going on. And so what happens here is that though you would think, if you were to do a miracle like this, something incredible, and it was you and me, what would we do when everybody wants to tell us how great we are? We'd be like, yeah, bring it on, right? We'd run into the glory. We'd run into the fame. We would embrace it and grab hold of it. At least most of us would. And so we see Jesus as the humble Messiah who empties himself of his glory and honor, as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2. Where he says that he emptied himself of his glory on this earth so he could complete his mission to redeem his people. He tells the leper, and he does this, I think, because he's shying away from the fame that many wanted to give him for working miracles. Jesus is not interested in becoming great or being well known in the eyes of humanity. Jesus already is great. He doesn't need to prove it. And so, Jesus is interested in fulfilling his mission, being the humble Messiah, the one, the Christ, the one who was the anointed one of God, the one who God commissioned to live and to die so that he might give us new life. And he gave that, his son, the Father gave his son. And in order for Jesus to complete his mission, He could not have the mobs of people trying to crown him king over Rome. And so the humble Messiah, the humble Savior, says, nope, don't tell anybody. So the next thing, though, is this verse may be showing us how the world, showing us and the world how Jesus Christ upholds the Mosaic law that is found in Leviticus 14, 2 to 32. Now, I'm not going to read all that. But there's this whole thing that people have to do. He tells the leper to go and do that, to basically follow to the T the Mosaic law found in Leviticus. And those who were cleansed would present themselves to the priest with a sacrifice, and then that priest would declare, if the leprosy was gone, would declare him clean. And I don't know if you know this, but that pointed to something, because there was a sacrifice that was made for that. A lamb, a goat. Blood was shed for that. And so that pointed to the Lamb of God who would take away our infirmities and cleanse us from our diseases. That Levitical ceremony of going to the priest then would declare him clean. And who is Jesus? The great high priest who stands before the Father. And he declares us innocent because of his righteousness. And that Son of God is the great high priest who lets us have direct access. And while lepers could not have access to anyone, when they were declared clean, they now had access to everyone. And this is a picture of Jesus Christ, the great high priest who declared it. But it's interestingly enough that sacrifice, Jesus is the sacrifice and the priest who gives the sacrifice and the priest who declares us free and clean. He's all of it. The whole thing, this whole cleansing of leprosy in the Mosaic Law pointed to Jesus Christ, that he performs everything necessary to cleanse us of our sin. And so this other point here is that Jesus heals the sick, and what we're going to see next week is he forgives sins. There's a connection to the logic of Luke's stories. He has the power and authority to heal us and cleanse us of our diseases. He also has the power and authority to cleanse us of our sins by declaration. Jesus has 3 years' worth of ministry to finish, and so he needs to prevent his arrest too early. He shows the authorities that he's submitting to all the requirements found in the law. He's not a renegade. He upholds the law. He doesn't tell them, well, I've declared you clean, so you don't have to do any of the ceremonies. He goes and tells them to do the ceremonies. Jesus is playing within the system that God had established until he completes his work, and that system is fulfilled in him. But as we see it, as we mentioned, the leper then goes and disobeys and spreads Jesus' fame. And so as the news of the Messiah spreads rapidly throughout the region, they want the Messiah to come to heal and liberate them from all their sickness and oppressions. What would we do if we had throngs of people chasing after us? We would embrace it, like I said. But what does Jesus do in that final verse, in verse 16? He withdraws himself away to private places and prays. Jesus goes and communes with his Father. He seeks the Father's glory. He seeks not the praise of men, but he seeks communion and relationship with God. That's what he had, and that's what he wants to give us. And that's what he cleanses us to. So Luke and Mark both stress that Jesus would go to these lonely places to pray. And so it seems that Jesus does not go to avoid people. It's not like Jesus is like an extrovert or an introvert and says, I need time to be alone and heal, right? And that's okay if we do that. But Jesus is going to his Father because he needs his Father. He wants to commune with his Father. This isn't, oh, I'm tired of people, let me go to private places. That's why Luke says he went to pray. Not to recharge, but to commune with his Father and seek his Father's will. Jesus is the dependent Savior. So what's the conclusion of all this? We should not pass over this small passage of Scripture in Luke 5. This man had a degenerative disease that left him broken and lonely. He needed healing. He needed Jesus. We need to think about how often we cannot see our need of healing. We also need to see how we live in isolation from God and others. And just like this, we as people are broken and incomplete. We are always and everywhere looking for wholeness, but we can never find it in ourselves or in others. Jesus Christ has the power, he has the authority, and he has the desire to make you whole. And so, like the leper, we must call out to Jesus in humble faith. And when we do, he will heal us. So I want to say a few brief things about some application for our lives. Jesus has made many other people whole, and he can do the same for you. There are countless lives and examples of his authority and power to heal, not only their bodies, but their souls. These testimonies should help you see that just like the leper, Jesus can heal you. Second, Jesus has the desire to heal you. He's a merciful, compassionate God who cares about his creation, his creatures. His heart for the lost leads him out to seek them and save them. You should not think that God sits in heaven refusing to grant you healing like a miser who does not want to part with his money. Jesus wants you to be healed. Third, Jesus has the authority to heal you. He is the creator of the universe. He's the sustainer of the universe. His words have power. Nothing can prevent him from speaking and bringing healing to your bodies if he chooses. Fourth, Jesus reaches into our broken world. He is not afraid to touch you. He is a sustainer of the universe. His words have power. Nothing, he's not afraid to contract your illness, to take your sin. He cannot sin, but he takes your sin upon himself. Jesus is the perfect God-man who left glory to live and die for you. He's not afraid of your sin. He will not cast you off, and he will forgive you. And here's the thing that you need to remember. Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to live in you, and Jesus Christ lives in you. He's not afraid to touch you. He actually is living in you. Father, Son, and Spirit take up their dwelling places in all who call upon the name of the Lord. So he touches a leper, and you might think, well, how could God dwell in this, in me? Well, that's because that's his business to heal us. And so he heals us over time. This big word sanctifies, which just basically means helps us to grow more like Christ over and over, to look and love God more, to love others more. And that's what he does for us. And so this passage of Scripture is not some little cute story. It's the story of our life in Christ. And I hope that you have seen his beauty and wonder and worshiped with me today.